It's not every day you get to do something new, but today is one of those days. Thank you so much for joining me here on this, the first episode of Input. I've got a lot of really cool stories that I'm very excited to be sharing with you here as part of this channel's journey. But to kick things off, I thought it would be really cool to start with another startup story. Now, I work at a company called Rocket Genius, and Rocket Genius are the creators of Gravity Forms. Gravity Forms has been around the WordPress ecosystem for about 14 years now, and it got its start in WordPress at a time when there weren't very many products like it out there. So I invited the co-founders of Rocket Genius to come and sit with me and tell the story, the origin story of Gravity Forms and how it came to be. We had a lot of fun. It was a really great conversation. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it too. You ready? Let's get into it. Welcome to Input. Well, thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me today. It's very exciting as this is our first episode of Input to have you, the founders of Gravity Forms, here. And so maybe we can just go around and introduce ourselves, starting with Alex and then Carl and then Kevin.
All right. My name is Alex Cancado. I'm originally from Brazil. I moved here to the States in 97 to the college. I graduated in computer science. I started working here. And then in one of my jobs, I got to meet Kevin and Carl, and here we are.
I'm Carl Hancock. I'm one of the founders here at Rocket Genius. I got my start in web development back in the mid to late 90s when I was in high school, and worked in web development for quite a number of years before meeting Alex and Kevin. And eventually we decided to start our own company, and Gravity Forms is what came out of it.
Hi, I'm Kevin Flahot, and I have been in web development space since the late 90s as well. Kind of jumped into that space, ended up moving to the Virginia Beach area, Virginia, and where I started working at a company, eventually met Carl and Alex. Shoot, I guess that's almost 20 years ago now. It's pushing. And then so we worked together closely for several years, decided we wanted to do something a bit more, something that we felt that was more engaging for us, so we kind of just jumped ship and decided to start a company. And Gravity Forms and Rocket Genius has been great for almost 14 years now. So yeah.
I'm curious, one of the things that a lot of people probably don't know, unless you work here at Rocket Genius, and I should full disclosure acknowledge that I am an employee, you are all my bosses. But when you work here, there is this very permissive culture around, you know, side projects and working on things and being adventurous and that kind of a mentality with work and play. And what I know is that it comes out of actually the origin story, the beginnings of Rocket Genius. And I'm interested to hear a little bit from the three of you, and you can decide who wants to do this. Alex, maybe you. Talk a little bit about how Gravity Forms really started as a side project while you were working together, and then launching it off into a new project.
Yeah. So Kevin, Carl, and myself, we worked on this company together. I was a developer. Carl and Kevin were more of a front-end developers, you know, designers. And we wanted to do something that we could control more. In our company, we had to basically do things that were, you know, not perfect because customers wanted to do things one way, and some customers wanted to do things another way. So we wanted to basically do something that was great, that was awesome, and that we controlled. You know, so we got together, we started working on a side project, and we did it for a couple of years, and it didn't really move forward. Then we decided, hey, we really need to get serious about this and do it full time so that it can actually take off. And that's basically how we started.
Wow. It's interesting to hear that. I think for a lot of people that are working in a product space, that's often how it starts. It starts out with an idea that comes from a customer, and they have a vision for what they want. Often they aren't the experts necessarily, and so they have demands or requirements that exactly. you get to a point. I can remember even in my own days, when I would do like web design projects, you'd get to a point where you'd get it to where you were happy with it, and then you'd present it to the client. And it was almost like that was the fork between like the perfect project and the final project. And that's really often where products start, is in that fork where you give the client the version that makes them happy. And then you tweak that other version that's been sitting there that you've been working on. Does that sound similar, Kevin, to how things happen with Rocket?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we had some really good ideas, and we worked hard to work. You know, we tried to use, you know, best practices when it came to these things, and we tried to build things in a way that made sense and that, you know, that they were extensible. And the development, you know, ended up being steered a lot by the customer demands. I mean, that's understandable to some degree, but it became frustrating for us. And we, you know, we felt like that between us, we had the capability to do something that was, you know, better, and that was more satisfying for us. And so that was really our goal, you know, was just to get out and do something that was challenging for us, that, you know, gave us the satisfaction that we longed for as far as, you know, from our work, and that offered us a good balance of, you know, work and life, you know, just trying to find that balance and someplace, you know, where we could plug in. And we didn't know, you know, for like a long-term plan, that wasn't something that we originally started with. We just knew that we were unhappy and wanted to get out and pursue something different. So we've been very fortunate and, you know, still here today. So that's a great thing, you know?
Yeah.
So,
the product space was something that we wanted to get into, because where we were was a company that wanted to be in the product space, but was still too deep in the agency space. So they weren't building a product. They were half building a product and then half customizing it for their customers. And that doesn't result in a good product. It just got frustrating to work in that environment. So eventually we decided to jump out and do our own thing and focus on building a product.
It's nice. You get the ability to have the final say on what it looks like and hope that it's going to be good enough for that people want to buy it. And that's sort of a great segue into my next question, which is you've got a product, you're in the agency space, you're doing the agency thing. Were you as a team or as an agency working primarily in WordPress? Because at that point, WordPress was quite young as a platform, mostly blogging. You know, Carl, can you tell us maybe a little bit about why you chose WordPress at a time when WordPress was still relatively new?
It was relatively new at the time when we decided that we wanted to do something in the product space, but we recognized that it had a lot of traction behind it. And at the time, there was very few commercial products. There were some in the space, but they were more fringe. They weren't more mainstream within the WordPress community. Mm-hmm. And we just saw that there was a lot of traction with using WordPress to build non-blog sites for businesses. So we saw a lot of potential there. And we came from a business that had built a proprietary CMS and a proprietary CRM for their customers. And we saw what WordPress was doing was something that had a lot of potential to build on top of. And it turns out that it did.
Alex, can you tell us a little bit about the early days of Rocket Genius? You know, like, where did you start? How did you get going? What were some of the early problems and challenges that you had to face as a team getting started?
Well, so the biggest challenge was, you know, how were we going to work full time on this thing and still, you know, pay the bills? That was the first challenge. You know, Kevin and Carl, they pretty much jumped ships, like, okay, we're quitting. And if you want to come with us, you got to come with us. And yeah. I was like, man, how am I going to do this? And so they did it. They paid the bills by doing freelance and by actually outsourcing some of the work to the company we worked for. And I started to just, you know, think about ways that I could do it. The way that I figured that I was able to do it, I changed jobs. And before I started, I negotiated with them so that I would work 3 days a week with them and then 2 days a week at Rocket Genius. So I started only working 2 days a week with them. And then obviously I would work at night and in the morning and all times, but full time, 2 days, you know, out of the week. And then we started, and it was the best thing. It was very, very exciting, you know, just being there and working on on, you know, at that point, we didn't know what we were going to do. We were just kind of playing around and trying to see. For me, myself, I was going to be the developer, just getting familiar with WordPress and creating some small little projects here and there to just kind of feel it out and see how to program for WordPress and kind of understand it. And Carl had some, you know, awesome ideas on small projects and this. So that's kind of how we started. And I remember Kevin working day and night on a bunch of projects, you know, just kind of, you know, basically just helping us pay the bills.
And we did, if I can jump in real quick, we did. Well, the timing wasn't, I mean, what anyone would consider great, because this is around the time of the big, you know, housing market crash and a bunch of things. I had just purchased a home 4 months prior to that. Carl had just had his first child. Alex, part of the reason that he did work with this other company for the short period is because his wife was expecting at the time, too. And so he needed to keep, you know, some insurance coverage and things like that. So, yeah, so we all took a big leap of faith, you know, kind of at that time. I don't think that anybody, sometimes I think in their right mind would have thought, hey, this is a great time to, you know, to quit our you know, job and jump out. But, you know, we felt like we could do it. And our goal was, you know, at least like Alex said, you know, pay the bills. If we could do what we liked and make, you know, a reasonable salary and take care of our families, then that was great. So, but yeah, Carl and I hustled. We did just random websites and projects for anybody that, you know, where we could hustle up a dollar for a while. And we did actually do some kind of subcontracting for the previous employer. As a matter of fact, working on some of the systems that we worked on, we maintained a relationship with them for a while. So the first, you know, year was like that. It was a whole lot of hustling, but we tried to insulate Alex as much as possible so that he could really focus on getting in, learning WordPress, and start putting, you know, some products together. Fun time. It was good, you know, and you look back and maybe more fondly than we would remember it if we were there. But, you know, it was good to hustle. It felt nice, you know, kind of building something and doing something again. And it was good energy. And these guys are great to work with. So, you know, fond memories for me for sure.
Reminds me a lot of the teams that I know. You can get your hands on a really good developer, give them mm-hmm. everything they want and never let go. There's a truth there somewhere. And it's exciting. So for me, it's fascinating that you had conceptually maybe an idea that you wanted to pursue in the WordPress space, but you didn't launch the business with a product. You just knew you wanted to work together as a team and mm-hmm. you wanted to do something together. And that was the foundation. And relationship is so, it's, you know, working here at Rocket Genius, you see that. It's number one, right? Like that working with people you love to work with day in and day out is such mm-hmm. a big part of the team culture. And you can see that foundationally, even in just how you're talking. You know, we just knew we wanted to work together. It didn't mm-hmm. matter necessarily what that end was. We had an idea, but it was doing it together that was really valuable. Carl, so WordPress is the thing. Apparently you're the idea guy. So can you tell us a little bit about how Gravity Forms came about as a concept?
Well, we had been building client sites at our previous job. We had been building both for small businesses and I don't want to go too deep into the industries that we worked with, but we worked with both manufacturers and distributors, if you will, of those manufacturers. And we knew there were some things that every website needed, and that was something that we wanted to focus on, was something that was, there was a big need for business websites in general. And when we started looking at WordPress, we definitely saw a need in that space for a better form solution. So Kevin and I actually were talking over product ideas, and out of that conversation, we basically had settled on forms as being the product that we wanted to tackle based on prior work we had done and some of the form solutions that weren't WordPress specific at the time that were available, some PHP form solutions. we thought Forms was a good product, and we settled on it pretty quickly once basically we started talking it over.
Yeah, from my point of view too, I had already built two form products before on my previous two companies, so that was very an area that was very familiar to me. So you know, when they started suggesting a form solution, I was like, yeah, I've done that before a couple of times. Like, I should be able to do it. So it kind of fit pretty well there too.
Right. And I can recall when Alex worked on these other projects. Now, these were in .NET and using a bunch of .NET components and a complete, you know, built completely differently. But these were in the early days of, you know, the Ajax and the things like this and being able to drag and drop. And Alex had, we saw some of this drag and drop functionality that Alex had built and in relation to the forms and how some of this worked. And, you know, we started, you know, kicking around the, you know, the possibilities of conditional logic and, you know, how people might use this stuff. So it was exciting, you know, as Carl said, you know, out of the box, WordPress had just a very simple contact form, but, you know, there was really nobody else in the space that was doing anything similar. So, you know, it seemed like a huge opportunity there, you know, to leverage some of the experience that we had already, you know, to fill that void there. And then, you know, just, you know, building upon just a simple form, all the potential in capturing and manipulating data down the line, you know, and how that might be used later on, which is incredible to see what people do now, you know. But yeah, I remember that being like pretty short conversation, and Alex was on. Alex was like, fine, just let me go, man. Here we go. You know, so it was good.
It was a space you knew well.
Yeah, it worked.
The interesting thing for me, so, you know, when you think about what Gravity Forms is today, one of the most influential products probably in WordPress in the ecosystem. And yes, I do work for Gravity Forms, so I can say that and champion that. But, you know, like you look at the transformation of WordPress over the last, you know, 10, 15 years, and the start was a blogging platform where, you know, what is the expectation of that core product? Well, you just needed to have a name, an email, and a message, right? Like, that was all the information you really needed to collect as a form. And as WordPress began to transform and themes, and I can remember the early days where, you know, you'd go onto the theme repo and you'd be looking for themes, and it was all, you know, you'd be basically selecting the color of your blog. That was it, right? Yeah. And then we started moving to magazine layouts, and all of a sudden, people started to break down those boundaries of what it meant to build on WordPress. And you see not just the design and look and feel, but you get into this idea of why people actually build websites in the first place, right? And what's the number one thing they're trying to do most times? It's to sell product, right? Mm-hmm. Or to sell something, sell service. And to do that, you need to collect information. And you need often more than just a name and an email, right? Like, you need more details. And then you want to be able to customize the experience, and you want to customize the responses. And you can just see how naturally, as the web has grown, as WordPress has grown, as our use case and understanding of how web technology can be leveraged to move a business forward, Gravity Forms has been there every step of the way, offering new and better ways to do that. Now, this isn't an ad for Gravity Forms, despite what you might think. But I say all that because it speaks to decision-making on your part as a company, and I say your part as founders, as leaders, and in terms of the early direction that you took to be open, to be extension-friendly and developer-friendly. And I'm curious to hear a little bit about some of those foundational decisions. Like, they don't happen intentionally often, right? They happen in a reactionary way, right? It's based on situations that come up. But I'm just curious to know a little bit about how you approach these kinds of things and approach this kind of decision-making. And maybe Carl, you can jump in here and talk a little bit about the decision-making process, especially between the three of you as founders, and some of those early decisions that you think were pivotal in helping the company get to where it is today.
I mean, I think a key part of the product from the beginning was extensibility. We did a lot with hooks and filters from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And we had already intended on creating add-ons for the product. We actually launched without any add-ons, and the promise of add-ons would be part of what people would be purchasing. So even when we launched, you got all of our add-ons on our developer license, for instance, but we didn't have any add-ons yet. But we had a list of potential products that we wanted to integrate. From an add-on standpoint, extensibility was definitely something that we saw as important for us as a company. And then that kind of just snowballed into other people taking advantage of that extensibility to create add-ons and customizations for Gravity Forms on their own without us doing anything. And I think that was pretty big. It's similar to WordPress itself. I mean, WordPress is what it is because of the ecosystem and because of the extensibility of WordPress. And I think any successful WordPress product has to basically be developed with that in mind and that mindset that people want to extend your product and you need to make it extensible.
From my point of view, it was, I used to be a Microsoft.NET developer before we started this. So jumping into PHP and jumping into WordPress, it was really a huge shift for me in the sense of how easy it was for me to use WordPress's functions and to, tap in all these different things. It was, very pleasant to work with. So, when I started developing Gravity Forms, it was natural for me to kind of do things in a similar way. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, led Gravity Forms to be, somewhat open and, easy to work with also.
I think that's absolutely right. You've got this ecosystem you're building within that's creating advantage and opportunity for this product to even exist, right? For Gravity Forms to exist. And that pay it forward effect. And we see that in the culture and in the ecosystem, even within Gravity Forms, right? With our certified developer program that we have, as well as just the hundreds of independent developers who can go and look at the product and build something off of it and without any permission or support or anything. But that, if they find a need or a user case that they want to explore and build for, they can do that, which, talking about expanding and growing, it's a natural point. So I want to, there's two stories out there I want to talk about. The first story is your first sale, and the next one is your first hire. So I'm curious, there's some lore around Gravity Forms, around Rocket Genius, about how quickly the first sale came in. Alex, can you tell that story of the first sale for Gravity Forms?
Yes. So we were, it was launch day. We're like, okay, so we're going to launch today. We, try to get everything ready, try to get, licensing system ready and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot going on, obviously, on this launch day. And we are testing things and everything is, ready to go. This was later at night. I want to say it was around 10 o'clock at night or something. And we're like, okay, we're ready to go. Let's go. So we flipped the switch. We turned the site on. We didn't go to Twitter. We didn't do anything. And within, 2 or 3 minutes, boop, we got an email, a sale. And then we're like, oh, something's wrong. What's going on? I don't know what happened. And I started
did
checking.
Did someone place a test?
Yeah, right.
Did anybody place a test? No. And then we come to find out that was a real sale that came in, I want to say 2 or 3 minutes after we flipped the switch.
It was a lady over in the UK, I believe. And I remember actually emailing her. I'm like, did you actually just, buy this? And she's like, oh, yeah, I've been waiting. So, we had Carl was good about, putting the buzz out there on Twitter and making some noise out there. And so apparently people had been watching. And as soon as it was turned on, we had a sale. But, yeah, none of us could believe that it happened that quickly. So. It was good fun. It's a good memory, and then, but yeah, we were sure that it was erroneous, that somehow or another that it was broken. We'd done something. So fortunately not.
Yeah.
That story gets told a lot around the office.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy because we did have a mailing list. We had beta testers that we had a closed private beta test of the product. Right. And we were doing a lot on Twitter at the time, which was and still is pretty popular in the WordPress community. And when we launched the site, we hadn't gotten a chance to actually send out an email to everybody that was on our beta list to let them know. And we hadn't done any promotion that the site had actually launched. So it was pretty surprising when we got that notification from the super powerful eJunkie e-commerce platform that we were using at the time. So.
Yeah. And we laugh about eJunkie, but eJunkie was very streamlined, we'll say. There wasn't a lot of functionality in eJunkie, but it cost us a whole $5 a month was their fee for the processing. And we went for, what, 6-8 years on that platform, I guess, and it never failed us. You know, always felt like it was going to be the weak link or something, but credit to them for, you know, it was simple, but it was robust. So, you know, we didn't get a lot of info, but yeah, it was good fun, you know.
It's so wild. Eh? You think about the tech stack that you had back in the day when you were launching, and it's so hard. Like, you know, like, can you imagine a world before Stripe, before PayPal, before these platforms that were really there, Square, that allowed you to transact on your site in such an easy way. It's you know, everybody had to start. Those like the pioneer days, right? Like, you had to start somewhere. It's crazy.
Yeah, this was before WooCommerce, before easy digital downloads, before most of the tools that people are using right now to sell WordPress products or digital products in general. I mean, at the time, eJunkie was pretty popular with selling just simple digital downloads, things like eBooks and software as well. And there just weren't a lot of options out there that made it quick and easy to get started. And it happened to be one of them. And we made a lot of money with them, considering what we were paying for the solution. Yeah.
All things change. All things grow. And at some point, three became four. Kevin, what was it like in those days and you know, like getting ready to hire and then moving from a founder-only company to being a founder-led company with multiple teams? Can you talk a little bit about the journey that Rocket Genius has been on over the last number of years?
Yeah, it's we grew very slowly and deliberately and just kind of organically, I guess. We never had a, you know, again, our goal was to have a workplace that doing something that we enjoyed, something that was fulfilling to us. We never just, you know, wanted to build a company just to go, you know, make it public or to sell it. That was never the goal. And, you know, just we wanted to work somewhere where we enjoyed the people, where we had that, you know, that culture that we talked about. So, you know, as our previous company went through, you know, some transitions, and some of the people had left there, and then that were friends, and then not just friends, but actually some very accomplished developers and very good people at what they did. So as we had opportunities, we began to kind of contract with these people. And I think it was a couple of years in, 2.5-3 years in maybe, when we finally brought our first full-time employee into the fold. And then shortly after that, our first full-time support guy. But our growth was very slow and metered over the longest time, you know. And then it was fortunate because it's people that we'd had the privilege of working with for many years, people that were very much like family, of a like mind, so that they were very good culture fits right off, you know what I mean. And so that was, it was always really, really easy and almost surprisingly so, you know, that we could grow and work together. And we have some very strong-willed, opinionated people, I'm not going to lie, but we've always been able to it's incredible, but we were all able to work very well together and communicate really well. So that's been great. I want to say, what was it, last year, 2020, was probably our biggest single growth spurt. So we added quite a few people last year, and we're at a bit of a disadvantage with you know, the current, you know, COVID situation, a thing like that, as being able to interact with these people as closely, as personally as we want to. And we hope that soon that, you know, we can get back to those, you know, the kind of situation we like to have for the remote employees. We always like to have people come in and work with us and take a couple of weeks and come share the office space with us. And even if they're remote employees, But it's been fun. It's just, like I say, up until probably 2020, it was just a very, very slow kind of, you know, casual metered growth. And we only wanted to grow as we needed to. You know, we wanted everybody to have buy-in, you know, in our decisions. We wanted everybody to feel like that they were a part of the process and they're part of the decision making, and that everybody was invested in that way. So we never really wanted to grow quickly and just throw bodies in there for no reason. And so, again, I think we've been very fortunate in that respect, that after all these years, we still, from a culture and vibe, for lack of any better word, you know, it's still very much the same, and we enjoy that. It's harder to kind of scale the energy that we had when it was three of us, you know, sharing a bedroom at my house, you know, but I think we've done well, and we're proud of our team, and it's been a great journey, really has. So I hope that's not too much.
No, I think that's great. You know, like, so the team now is definitely bigger than it was. Gone from, I think, 3 to 30 or somewhere in the neighborhood of that. So it's a 10x growth over, you know, 14 years. That's pretty pretty good. I came in to a company coming, you know, from 300 down to 30. So my story is a little different coming from that angle. But the thing that has, you know, struck me about being here is there is very much this relational culture, this people first type mentality. But the other thing that's really cool is being here, you see everybody genuinely loves what they do. They do. There's good people position fit, if you will, you know, and as things go and people grow and mature and change, it doesn't mean, you know, people don't, you know, come and go, but there's genuine mm-hmm. excitement and energy here. I'm curious now to hear a little bit about, here we are. This has been a big year for Rocket Genius, a big year for Gravity Forms. We launched 2.5, which is the first major release in a long time, setting us up for the future. As founders and as people who've been around now for the history, what's next for Gravity Forms? What's next for Rocket Genius? Or where do you think WordPress and the whole ecosystem is going? I'm curious to get your thoughts on all of the above.
Well, one thing that, from a WordPress standpoint, WordPress is evolving pretty quickly, probably quicker than it ever has in its history with all the changes that it's going through. And Gravity Forms has been pretty consistent with its change during that time period. We haven't evolved as quickly as WordPress itself. And some of that comes from having a product that's used by so many people. And WordPress had the same issue where you have a product that is used by so many people, it's hard to make more sweeping changes. And that's something that with 2.5 we're starting to do, because we have to make changes to keep up with the industry, to keep up with WordPress. And we're really just getting started with those changes. The changes that we've made to the editor to make it more Gutenberg-esque, if you will, are just the beginning of changes that are coming to Gravity Forms. That one is more of a jolt to the users, in a similar way that Gutenberg was from the editor standpoint. But there's a lot of things that we have coming in the future to make Gravity Forms not just powerful and extremely extensible for developers, but extremely easy to use for users. And it's always been pretty easy, I think, to use, but there's definitely a lot more we can do in that area. And there's a lot of really cool things that we're working on to make it a great tool for developers and super easy to use for people that don't know how to do any development. And I think the barrier to WordPress development is getting higher. So I think it's important to make the product easier to use for people that aren't developers, because WordPress itself is just evolving in that way, where previously you had a lot of people that would kind of hack their way through WordPress and make customizations. And with the transition to Gutenberg, it's getting quite a lot more complex with the tech stack that's required to work with it. So we want to focus on making it not just powerful for developers, but easy for users, and make things that they would do on the regular just simpler and quicker.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, it makes a ton of sense. And it's one of the reasons why I think input is here as well, even just as a new thing. I was talking with you all a little earlier about it, but there's a recognition on our part that the people that use WordPress are changing, diversifying, and moving away from that developer who knows how to tinker with PHP to an end user who is using, you know, is probably like, you can even divide that up a little bit to somebody who just uses it on the front end, to somebody who sets up the back end. If they don't code the back end, they set up the back end with all the tooling for somebody else to be able to use. And that, right. And you're right, there is that leap now, even from setting it up in the back end to creating it and creating the tooling that goes in there. That's going to be interesting to watch the WordPress ecosystem as it makes that shift from one side to the other. We've known that this has been coming for a number of years. Gutenberg as a product and as a project came out of this knowledge and this understanding that we needed to level up the user experience for less experienced users and give them the power and the ability to get what they want out of WordPress the same way that more advanced and more professional or developer-oriented users could. So it's neat to see us as a team and as a product moving in that direction as well. I'm totally on board. I think it's a great idea. And I'm excited as well to see what people do with it once they have access to the new tooling and things are simpler. What kinds of people are leveraging Gravity Forms and WordPress to do things? The world is just getting more creative. It's not getting less creative because people have access to more tools and more ideas. And so it's really neat that as ideas diversify, as industries diversify, and as we see more niching, that products and tools like WordPress and Gravity Forms are positioned there to help people achieve their dreams.
Yeah. One thing that I wanted to add to what Carl said is, yes, we need to move forward. We need to keep up. We need to have, better tools. And we are very much, looking forward to that. But we also committed to backwards compatibility. So it's a challenging position because here you have, millions of websites using a product. You need to push the product forward. But at the same time, you don't want to break sites from people that are using it. So that's the challenge that we have right now. It's, hey, how do we move it forward and maintain backwards compatibility? Because we are committed to it. So that's, that's going to be part of our future. It's always going to be this challenge of balancing out, driving the product forward, but at the same time, being committed to, making sure the sites keep working.
I think that's a fantastic spot to be in. I would argue it's one of the reasons why WordPress has been so successful is their commitment to backwards compatibility has meant that as companies invest in their web presence, they can invest with the knowledge that no matter what happens, if they decide to set it and forget it for 5 to 7 years, right?
Yeah.
They can and know that the product will still work exactly as it did the day that they installed everything. And that's exciting. So that's really cool. Well, I'm going to end it there and just say thank you to all three of you for taking some time and being here with me and doing this. For those of you who don't know, this has taken a while, and it's very exciting to get everyone together. And I don't know that this has ever happened anywhere. This is as exclusive as it gets. And so thank you for being here.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
Well, it's not every day that you get to interview your bosses and ask them those kinds of questions and hear right from them. But there's one thing I've learned working at Rocket Genius. It's that is how they are. Super genuine, super great guys. And the kind of culture that they're creating is one that I'm really excited to be a part of. Well, this is just the beginning for us here at Input. And we're going to tell stories like this more and more because I love it. I love being able to hear how people create, how they connect that creativity with purpose, and just what happens in between. And it's exciting. I'm also curious what you think about Input and what we've been doing. So please make sure to leave a comment. Let us know your thoughts and consider subscribing as well. We'd love to have you on this journey with us and to see where it goes. Well, that's it for me. We'll see you next time.